flexible. But that's not entirely the case. There's a bone inside it along one edge. Wait. It moved to the bottom now. How strange.
It's not strange. It's waking up, the Kari said. Run, idiot!
Hafner's fingers probed at the bone, and it moved again.
Look at this. The bone inside that runs along the snout actually rotates in a full circle. Must be an extraordinary socket and musculature system at the base of the skull. And that feeding tube must retract far up inside for it to be allowed such free movement.
His fingers clutched around the end of the snout.
Down here, there is a ring of bone near the orifice. Yes, it is a ring indeed. I wonder if...
He squeezed and pulled down against the skin of the snout and unveiled a horror. It was a rotary blade of teeth, pointed down and insulated by its angle from cutting the inside of the creature's snout. But they could cut through a helmet, and then a skull just fine. The teeth were discolored, but otherwise undamaged.
This is incredible. They used these teeth and a rotary motion to drill through the skulls of their prey, damaging the brain. And then when the victims fall down, they insert the feeding tubes and, well, feed. What must they be made of to penetrate through these helmets like they did? Some sort of crystalline coating to the teeth, perhaps, as hard as diamond?
The picture was rocked as a weight fell down upon Hafner's head.
Oh, I have one on me. Harvester, come quickly! I'm stunning myself and the beast!
We saw him pick up the blaster on the ground, heard the stun blast, and then the cam view slipped down and sideways as Hafner hit the forest floor. The picture was replaced by Fayette Kellen.
Unfortunately, the Harvester did not arrive in time to save Hafner. Before it could arrive, the beasts had all woken, finished their meals, and departed. The Harvester crew did not land, but rather extracted the bodies with cables and claws. They stunned the bodies to make sure none of the beasts was hitching a ride into the ship, and then left the system to report back to me. The brains had been completely removed from the victims. The Bith, Privan, had also been poisoned. Those spines contain a toxin. They were otherwise untouched, but their deaths have revealed the most stunning biotech find in a good long while. A poisonous adaptive creature with a natural drill mechanism capable of penetrating most armors and perhaps fooling weapon scanners. The potential from this single species alone is worth millions of credits. Never mind all the other species on Fex. For now, we are calling these creatures Fexian Skull Borers. I sent another crew, the one you are going to find, with upgraded armor and infrared goggles to spy the creatures when they are in camouflage. The armor you have is even better than theirs, but cannot accommodate the goggles. Do not leave your ship without the armor on. Stun anything you bring into the ship to make sure no skull borers are hiding on it in camouflage. If you can bring back any skull borers, dead or alive, my bounty will be great. At minimum, I need confirmation that the crew is dead or alive, and a report on the condition of their ship, the Harvester. That ship was fitted with a remote-activated beacon. If it has not been obliterated, it should broadcast a signal in response to the codes I am including in this file. I'm also including other stills and reports for your review. Good luck, and safe hunting.
The Hollow winked out, and Nakari looked at me.
Hey, Luke.
Yes?
I know that it's really early, and we haven't even made it into the system yet, but I'm going to gently suggest that the Alliance does not try to establish a base on that moon.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Now we know what the stun sticks are for. They make perfect sense. Did the second collection crew have them, I wonder? Maybe that's in the rest of the information he included.
Maybe. We should review all that. I called out. R2, can you give us everything else Dakari's father included in that file?
Incoming,
came the reply. We got a toxicity report that indicated the Bith would have fallen stone dead of heart failure if the skull borer hadn't penetrated his brain first. So slapping at them was not an option. There were some speculative reports on the skull borer's skeleton and the composition of the drilling teeth. The helmets worn by the first crew were about an 8 on the hardness scale, so the teeth were at minimum a 9 and possibly a 10, considering the speed at which they had bored through the material. Our helmets were now 9.5 on the hardness scale, including the visor, while the rest of the armor were standard, albeit insulated from stun blasts. Since stunning had proven to be effective, recommended tactics suggested immediate application of the stun stick if attacked.
I'm taking 2 of those things with me, Nakari said. And if one lands on me, you bash my head with your stunners too. You hear?
Same here, I said, nodding. We'll see what we can salvage from the ship and get out. No walking around underneath the trees.
Definitely not.
We fell silent, and Akari bowed her head, obscuring her face behind a curtain of dark curls. It was probably a good time to make a clever quip of some kind, but my mind remained blank, still in shock at what I'd seen. Perhaps that's all Nakari felt as well, and in that case there was nothing I could do to fix it. I wondered, though, about her father. What sort of person would send his child to face such dangers when he could risk someone else? Was he that confident in the new armor? Or was he that confident in Nakari? Judging by her next words, she was thinking much along the same lines.
Can't believe he'd send me out to do this, she said.
Well, didn't you tell me you've hunted a crate dragon before? He must figure you're up to it.
Maybe,
she said, and then laughed with equal measures of amusement and rue.
Or maybe he's more confident in the armor and figures anyone can do it now. You hope it's one and not the other. Sometimes I think the galaxy might be entirely populated by people with daddy issues.
Of one kind or another, probably so, I agreed.